switch off.
Hi everybody, it's 4 o'clock now, so time to start. So first point on the agenda, feedback on last meeting's minutes. Anybody has any comment? No? Okay. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we hear you fine.
We can hear you fine, Maite. Hi.
So we move to the items part of the agenda. Grid operator on duty handover from Germany, Switzerland, UK, Ireland to Southwest Russia. The only comment that I could fetch from the code transfer was the GOD-DB outage, the 7th and 8th, due to the power cut at RAL. Any other comment? That seems to be fixed now. Any other comment worth to be mentioned for the handover or any questions for the starting team?
No question. The GOD-DB is okay now. This is Russia.
Okay, thank you, Russia. So we move to the next point in the agenda, pre-production service report and issues.
Nothing special to report, no issues reported for the rocks. There were two releases to pre-production this week, one on baseline 3.0 with an update to the old bug of the limit to the user ID for a grid FTP. And just today, update 17 was released to the pre-production sites after the grid deployment test, and it contains the support for July 10 PI utils as an outstanding thing, apart from a new version of the RCG util, version 1.6.8. All the details are in the web page linked by the agenda.
Okay, thank you, Antonio. Any question about the pre-production service? To easy issues coming from ROC reports, we had three issues reported this week. So first, also thank to all the ROCs who managed to fill the report on time in spite of the GOG-DB problems this morning that avoid the CIC portal to have the right permissions to fill the reports. This was filled very closely to the deadline to fill the reports, and still most of the reports were there. Thank you to everybody. So the first issue is coming from ROC France. They had to change due to an emergency the domain name, and they are asking if the fact that one cannot set an alias on a C node that has been there is still changed, or if this is still not possible. So to my knowledge, this is still not possible. I asked very quickly to our CERN, to one of our CERN experts, to Martin Dimath, and I asked too close to the meeting, so I didn't get any answer if there is any change on that. Does anybody around the table or in the phone have more news about that? Any news?
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
Last time we tried at CERN PPS, it resulted to be impossible.
Mm. Okay. So no news there, France. It's still the same, so it's not possible to set an alias. Any follow-up questions to this, France?
No, thanks. Hi, Maite.
Hi, Rolf. How are you?
How are you?
Fine, thank you. So the second issue reported this week, it comes from Russia, and I think this was already discussed last week. So this is about the recent updates in LCG util. So related to the backward compatibility with the classic SC. So they are, this time, if I understand correctly the issue, they are not discussing what happened to LCG utils, but the process. So they are saying that if it is, it would be possible to roll back the situation once we discover an update that breaks the backward compatibility, how to send a recommendation to site administrators, how to do these rollback procedures on emergency, manually or automatic. Russia, did I understand correctly the issue? Are you pointing to the process, or you are pointing to a specifically a CUT?
Some more comments on this. Well, actually, the fix for this bug was released in Savannah, I think, 2 weeks ago. So the main question, why does not this got to any updates yet?
Okay.
Because the related bug was fixed,
mm-hmm.
but the update is still not released even to pre-production.
This is very simple.
The microphone is somewhat
very simple. A bug fixed in Savannah means that the developer has created a bit of code. It means not that the code even is working.
In Savannah it passed through all the stages like integration, testing, etc. So it states clearly that it was tested.
So it passed certification. By that it is automatically a candidate for pre-production.
Yeah, in fact, I'm checking because.
So we'll take the point and we'll check.
We should not stay 2 weeks after certification.
No, that's clear, but.
The patches usually are open very, very early and.
Yeah, but in fact, we were aware of this problem with the classic. We haven't held back anything in PPS.
Okay. So we'll continue if you find out why before the meeting. If not, take it offline. Okay, and we have a look after the meeting. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and another request was that in case that there are such unfixed bugs which cause sites to malfunction, could you please also publish the role, some kind of official rollback procedure for the updates? Because if we just degrade the RPMs, I guess, we could have a site in the working condition back again. But there are no official rollback
procedures. Yeah, it depends on.
Because you use the same repository and you need to build a new RPM with a higher version number containing the old material. Otherwise, you cannot rollback.
But I can't just force the installation of folder RPM.
By hand, locally.
Yeah,
in fact, there is fix. Yes. Yes, it was released today to PPS sites. It was an update 17 last Thursday. Okay, so we could have released it to production today, in fact. Okay.
But it wasn't in PPS 2 weeks, it was in PPS 2 days.
No, it was sent to PPS. It passed the pre-deployment test this morning. So it wasn't.
So it's not there 2 weeks, it's there 2 days.
Yes, it's 2 days. It was fixed by running all on, but in fact the bug was not correctly fixed because it has to be fixed after the pre-deployment.
Okay.
Some iterations on it.
So it has continued the normal flow.
Takes
time, yeah.
No,
what we're saying is it wasn't there 2 weeks, it's there 2 days.
Oh.
So 2 days is not 2 weeks.
What I meant, if a patch is open, it's open when the developer thinks that there is something useful. This is then going through the initial test, integration, blah, 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 and usually, if you look at the history of these patches, you see that there are several iterations until things really work.
Well, I was just confused by the status of the bug that it is closed in Savannah for 2 weeks. So I was confused by
the bug was closed, but it should not have been.
Correct.
It should not be closed.
Definitely.
Okay,
the patch is reaching production.
So a good example to check that bugs are handled in the correct way, because now you see.
No, this is a glitch. Normally, it's done correctly.
Now users and sites know the process and check that they applied correctly.
Okay, if it was closed, I can understand why that caused confusion.
Thanks for the
call. Okay, thank you. Next and last issue reported today, reported by Southwest Europe. In the last days, several sites in the Southwest Europe Federation are experiencing problems with the information system. Not clear if this is correlated to the upgrade of the last version of the middleware or its same configuration. So they want to check if there are any other sites that have recently experienced the same. Do we have anybody from Southwest Europe that can give us a bit more details of what are the problems they are experiencing?
I'm Maite, this is Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Hi, Maite. Nice to have you back again.
Thank you. Hi.
Yes, there were some sites they updated to TLine 3.1, reinstalling for sure. and they had some problems with that site. The everything is publishing, but not the information about the site. And okay, this happens in four sites more or less. So it looks like Lib commented that when they made a downgrade from the last YIM version, for them it worked, but I have no other reference if this is true or. It looks like that there's a problem in the configuration of the info system. So we just wanted to know if this is just happening here or.
So was this the site's initial upgrade to Glite 3.1 of the BDII? Or was this just them applying the latest?
Okay, this only happens if the site BDII is on the same machine as the CE. Okay, first.
Okay.
Okay, and second, this is, I think it's, it. I'm not sure if it's the last update or the one before. Because okay. It wants, okay?
Okay, so it's not them going from Glite 3 to Glite 3.1, it's just the last
update. No.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the last one where BDIA and YIM were modified was update 12 at the end of January.
But I don't know if any of the other, I can't remember seeing any particular issues raised about this one. Any of the other federations had problems?
Hello, Nick, this is Ben speaking for Germany, Switzerland. I remember roughly a report in our last regional meeting on Friday. Well, I don't have the minutes in front of me, but there was a problem with this BDII update. As far as I remember, there was a directory in opt Glite something, and the XBIT was not set in that directory, with the consequence that all the files inside the directory were not readable, and that caused the problems. And I remember that these problems were very similar to what Kai described. But I have to check the details. I suggest to send you a mail about this.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, do that. I'm surprised that more people haven't complained, actually.
Yeah.
I
think we may have seen some problems in the UK as well, Nick.
Sorry, was that you, Jeremy? You're very faint.
I seem to remember some sites reporting some issue as well, but it didn't sound like it was that significant, but I'll recheck it, because it sounds like it's something similar.
Okay. Okay, but...
Hello, this is Ron Tromper from the Northern Federation. We have some troubles as well.
Ah.
It had to do with a file in ObGlite, etc., something which would publish the site information, but there was an attribute called MDSVO name something. And when you would remove that attribute from the file, then everything was publishing correctly again. But the only nodes I believe that had an issue with this were are both computing elements. All the other nodes using a BDII like the WMS or FTS did not suffer from this.
Okay, has anybody submitted any bugs or Gigas tickets about this? It sounds like there may be more than one issue, but...
Yeah, this is Jules. This was based on Gigas tickets.
Okay.
That was the way we were informed, I think. If I remember well, at least I distributed this information locally, I think.
Does anybody know the ticket numbers? Do they have them to hand? If not, if you could send them in an email after the meeting, that'd be fine.
Yeah, so we got their information. Yeah.
Would you be able to do the same thing, Kai?
I found some ticket, but it was not too clear for me how to resolve the bug. So, okay, if I get the update by Sven or by... the others I can check, and then next week I can report if it's solved by this issue, or before I can send a mail.
Okay. I mean, it could be useful to get it in a Gigas ticket as well, because then the solution will go into the knowledge base, so anybody else having the same problem can search there to find the solution.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Maita, before you move on, there's two UK issues which I put in, but you may have missed them.
Probably I miss them.
Do you mind if I just mention them briefly?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So the first one was that RAL suffered a power cut last week, and this impacted the GOT databases. I think most people have seen and if the broadcast system relies on the GOCTB. So the RAL Tier 1 site was unable to broadcast that they were down at that particular point in time using the normal systems. So that means that we now want to re-examine how well the communications get managed during incidents like this. So we're reviewing that ourselves as part of our normal disaster planning.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be useful to have feedback if certain user groups didn't know anything about this until much later.
Okay.
The second one is quite a serious one for us, that most of the UKCA certificates were taken out of the CERN VOM service last week because they were thought to have been revoked. And it turned out, when tracing back, that a user ticket was submitted that had a specific problem which they were experiencing, and they thought it might be related to the fact that we had an old CADN. And this wasn't in fact the case, but nevertheless, the VOM's admin took out the old issuer information, which most of our certificates rely on. And they had to reinstate them again. So there's a question here about procedure, because there was no official request from UK and Ireland about removing these. But it was just the user who was speculating about a possible cause for a problem they were seeing.
I've spoken to the service manager here to make it clear that anything, particularly for the VOM service, that any changes of this magnitude have to be ratified by somebody with sufficient authority. They can't just, as you say, they can't just take any GIGOS ticket that happens to land with them and implement it. So apologies for that, but the change to the procedure has been put in place now.
There's also an issue here about whether or not the VOM service is up to date, because if it was, there's an option which is the no CA check, which should be enabled, and this would mean that it wouldn't matter if the CA had recently rolled over for any reason. And we note that there's at least four or five other CAs that have rolled over recently, and they may be impacted by something similar.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can ask the service manager to make sure we're up to. I mean, I would assume we are, but I can ask him to check that we're on the latest production version.
GGRS ticket that was submitted, they're aware of it now. So I just want to
mention
it at the ops meeting in case others were.
Okay, fine. Okay, thanks, Jeremy.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Any other issue from any other rock that I missed? Okay. We move to the G-Lite release news. What is coming?
Last release is from today. Okay, now this release, July 3.1 update 13, was mainly dedicated to Dcache, so something that is probably in production already at all tier ones. So we integrated it in July, and it is now available also in the production repository. In addition, we have the VOMS admin clients for the UI and the view box as relevant part of this release. And the Dcache VOMS 2G Plasma always for Dcache to enable proxies created with grid proxying. All the details, as usually, are linked in the agenda.
Okay. Any questions, Anton? Thank you. So, last point of the EG section of the meeting, a point that we were discussing a few months ago last year, last time it was May last year, the phase out of the classic SC. So, we think it's now the time to phase out finally the few classic SCs that are still installed around in the sites. So this is a first call to plan the migration and to start the migration. The timeline would be around 3 months, I think, from now till the end of May. We'll send the broadcast with the details, so the procedure is more or less the same as it was requested 1 year ago. The suggested migration strategy is to migrate to DPM. There is already some documentation around for a few months, because this was created already last year, on how to do it and what is the process. So I guess that at the day of today, that documentation should be should be tested because there are a few sites that have migrated already. Just in case, we'll choose one of the sites and we'll test it with them, and we'll send a broadcast to send a request to everybody. So you start preparing the migration and probably ask the rocks to follow with the sites this migration, so no Classic SC is there in 3 months from now. Probably will be done through tickets. Any first question or first reactions to this? Okay. So
just one comment. Maybe you should clearly the installation guide that it is not recommended to install Classic SE under any circumstances.
Okay. I'll remove it from the installation guide.
The installation guide is okay. Already a command that you can install.
Okay.
Oh, but regarding to Glite C, it just clearly says that Glite C installation is not supported. And regarding the Classic SE, it says that you can install it, but on your own.
Last time we had this discussion at the TCC, it was agreed that the Classic SC could be phased out, but an installation of the Grid FTP server with the Classic authentication via GridMAT file should have been provided.
This is not in relation to this.
Not all the sites
that currently run a Classic SE should set up a Grid FTP node, as we agreed this would be called.
Yes.
And this is why I didn't bring this up here, because it's only some sites that in addition have the Classic SE, which is used by the experiment as a Grid FTP node.
Sure, but
this we will promote.
Sure, but the Classic SEs, which at the moment are used by the experiment as a Grid FTP server, should not become DPNs.
No, that doesn't apply only to CERN, not to other sites.
For Atlas, this applies only to CERN.
Yeah.
But
a handful of
for other VOs,
and we will provide a Grid FTP server for that. But in this discussion, I didn't bring this up, because this is targeted at the small sites that use them as the only SE that is around. And I don't want to get these confused, that these sites wait until the Grid FTP node comes, and then convert the Classic SE to a Grid FTP node. Then we have gained nothing.
So who has to wait till the Grid FTP node comes?
Oh, this is just a handful of large sites, and it only involves a handful.
And they all know already about it?
They will know shortly.
Okay.
I mean,
can we write a note about this so it is clear on the broadcast who is who?
For others, I can provide a list of hosts, which is one note. But this has to remain.
You know, the difference between the Classic SE for these nodes is that we stop publishing.
Yes.
That's the only thing. It's basically, to create a new node type is take away the information.
Okay.
We should not confuse this. The rocks have the problem that they have to go through the small site and be directed to the conversion again.
No,
we don't want to move
with
them to
DPMs,
definitely.
No, for that, yes.
Okay. Any other question or comment? Okay. We move to the WLC part of the agenda, CCRC 8 operational review.
Well, I was going to do a few things in the sort of daily minutes and then let you do the metrics. Yeah? Okay. So we're not quite sure how this slot is going to work out, but for the moment we're going to have a quick look at what's left over from last week and today. So a few things from the e-log, then a quick summary from the experiments, any questions, comments from the sites, and then Jamie will quickly look at where we're going with the metrics. So we have three things left over in the e-log at the moment. This is on the CCRC08T wiki. One, since quite a few days with a certificate problem at NDGF, which is stopping file transfer, at least for Atlas. It's still there at 10 o'clock this morning, so I really don't know. We haven't made any progress on that, I don't think. Something to do with credential delegation in FTS. Okay, ongoing. Then there was a new one this morning
that was NICEF.
NICEF, I meant NICEF, sorry. Yes, okay. then you marked a top priority item, problems accessing srm.cern.ca this morning?
It was, so the ticket was two-folded. One of the problems was about srm.cern.ch. This has been tracked down by Gavin and solved. This was related to a bunch of files which were lost in Castle because of a hardware failure and were not recoverable. So out of 25,000 files, 20,000 were recovered, 5,000 were missing. All but 120 of those files I couldn't care less, but the 120 which I do care about are the ones which are giving the errors. So now there are people in Atlas which are cleaning up catalogs and things like this. So I do not expect those files to be recovered and located with me, which
okay.
Is
okay, so then the third...
Wait.
Yep.
That's the first fold. The second fold is about the durable part, which... few people of Atlas would like to write in there, so they have been given permissions, but they are finding an error. So this, I understand, Ian is looking at.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Do you want to say anything on that? Yeah.
But this problem was discovered on Thursday evening. That we haven't had time to check it.
Okay. Okay. Then the third thing left in the e-log is. File exist problems in dcache, particularly so FTS trying to transfer to dcache sites. The one marked is NDGF. Do we have another? Yeah, that looks, yes, okay. NDGF dcache failing with file exist. That's relatively new, 2 o'clock this afternoon, so I guess we have not, I can't see any information on that. But again, it's marked as urgent.
So that's me again. The error was found sometime last week, so this I updated today because I had no news, or at least I had no understanding of what was going on. So I understand the problem is related to dcache, and it's some race condition when dcache reports an error in a too generic way rather than the specific error of directory creation. So FTS is not able to understand what's going on. And it just fails. So as I understand, as it has been explained to me, this is the cache problem, and will be brought after the attention of the cache developer. It happens anyway, not very often, but when it strikes, you have multiple failures in a very short period of time because it's raised to me. So.
Okay, thanks, Simone. So then let's have a quick. Any quick reports from the experiments? Anyone from CMS want to say anything?
Hi, here is Daniele.
Hi, Daniele.
So briefly, basically on Sunday night, Monday morning, Geneva time, we stopped the IO rate test at the tier 0, and basically we've filled up the 8 gigabyte AFS partition with the LFS log files. So it's a good reminder that we need some permanent solution for the LFS logs. And overall, the test was quite a success. Castor easily kept up with the 1.3 gigabyte per second write rate to tape. And Mike Miller will summarize that in the data operations meeting tomorrow for CMS, and we'll send you a pointer to that so you have all the details. Concerning the other tests, the transfer tests are going on. The weekend was quite fruitful because of some of the things we could not do in the beginning of last week because of the ramp-up activities could be finalized over the weekend, and so we have more items in our checklist that can be considered as already demonstrated in CCRC. And again, let's wrap up everything. We are moving to week two, and I will send you some pointer to all the checklists. That's it on my side.
Thanks, Daniele. Simone again, Atlas.
So the transfer tier 0 to tier 1 didn't happen over the weekend. This was a problem at the tier 0 side, which is being looked into. So the only transfers which you have seen at the moment are just the tests, which I run periodically to check the different assigned to endpoints. So I fear at this point I have no more views.
The problem at the tier 0 is where?
It's in the Atlas plugin, which registers the file which are already into Castor in LFC and DDN. So there's something screwed up in the I think it's a problem of SOC 3 versus SOC 4, something which was working before is not working now. It's not a middleware-related problem.
Okay, thanks. Any report from Alice? No? Anyone from LHCB? No, okay, so then any comments, questions from the sites? No? Okay, great. Then Jamie is taking a first look at the metrics. This is week two. Start off.
Yeah, so I've just attached one slide to the agenda, and this recalls the three metrics we agreed to judge our progress on, the experiments scaling factors per functional block, the critical services lists, and the MOU targets. And unfortunately, I think it shows that we're not able to report very clearly in an automated way where we are. For example, although Julia forwarded me the mail about the CMS status, I couldn't find a way I could sort of synthesize this in a convenient way, and I think sort of tracking hypernews and twikkies is very difficult. I couldn't find anything for the other experiments at all. For the critical services, we have these service maps that Max has produced, which show that in the majority of the areas, there's actually a long way to go. We have an awful lot of red and not very much more positive colors. So to get these services in a state where they're really production quality on the right hardware, procedures, so forth, there's a lot of work to do, which I think we knew. But even for the MOU targets, it's not really clear. We have the grid view plots from Ops. If you try with another VO, I couldn't find any useful data. And I think we know that if we run as Ops, this doesn't actually reflect accurately the situation for the VO in question. So that's, I think, where we are, but somehow we have to use this run at least to understand where we need to be, if not actually find a way of getting where we need to be. Because ideally, this reporting would be done largely in an automatic way, and certainly not by trawling through all sorts of logs. So that's really all I wanted to say. Hopefully it will be more positive.
Excellent.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Okay. Anything else to say on this segment at all? No. Okay. Back to Maite and the normal agenda.
Okay. Thank you, Harry. Next point in the agenda is the OSG items. Do we have anybody from OSG connected?
Yeah, this is Rob and Arvind and Tom with me.
Hi, Rob. Anything to point at today's meeting from OSG?
Yeah, actually we had an event that we're not sure if something happened with Sam on Friday, but our RSV collection stopped sometime what would have been early Friday morning GMT. About 5 a.m., and what happened is basically our collection mechanism was trying to send to SAM and stopped, backed up to a point that it crashed our RSV collector, so we're not sure, and we'll if Piotr or James is here, or somebody with SAM project, they may be able to inform us. If not, we'll take it up in mail, but I was hoping somebody on here could give us a clue as to what may have happened.
Yeah, Rob, this is James. Daniel reported that the consumer was hitting the broker hard, and eventually the broker ran out of open sockets and died. So it looks like what killed on your side killed on our side as well. So he's having a look into the, everything was sitting in close weight, and eventually the server crashed. So he's going to have a look into it on the producer and see can he reproduce it. See, is it a producer problem or was it just a problem in the broker?
Okay. This is Arvind. So just as a follow-up to that, I certainly have had one agenda on my item to make sure, you know, I don't have multiple instances of the message MSG publish script running at the same time. But this is perhaps something we need to look into for future stability point of view, you know. Do we want to have
some sort of mechanism where if one side is breaking, then we would know and there would be a way to fix it.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're basically saying we shouldn't have ran into this anyway, so we'll alarm on the number of open file descriptors and restart the broker if we get into this situation, which hopefully should solve the problem at least for a while.
Okay, okay. And I'll
but I think we don't know what caused it right now.
Okay, okay. Just another quick question. Are you still probing OSG sites using the Ops VO, or are you just using the RSV records now?
As far as I understand, we're not probing using the Ops VO. The only thing you might see is that experiment-specific tests are still coming at you via SAM.
Okay, and I assume you don't have those experiment-specific tests on RSV, so it makes sense for them to run those tests even now. Correct?
Right, that's correct. They're run with experiment certificates, so there's no real easy way to get them out to all the sites, in fact.
Okay, okay, but you're not running, you know, the tests you used to run to display stuff on SAM, you're just using the records you received from us, right?
Correct.
Okay,
I'll double-check that with Judith, but that's my understanding, that we will not run anything against an OSGCE.
Okay, I'm writing an email to Miron now, and you are on the copy list, so if that is not true, please confirm that or contradict that in response.
I will do.
We will restore SAM uploads sometime this afternoon.
Okay.
RSV SAM uploads.
Okay, anything else from OSG?
That's the only item I had. I looked at the ticket reports. It looks like we have no open extended tickets, so ticketing seems to be flowing smoothly. I just saw something from Gunter and Tom in exchange from them. And it sounds like everybody's receiving tickets okay after all of the GGUS upgrades, so
good.
We're in good shape there. So that's the only we had.
Yeah, good also to report that you are in a good shape. Regarding tickets. Thank you, Rob. So next and last point in the agenda, review of action items. So first one in the list is number 99. It's a ticket that was reported by Germany, Switzerland. As a follow-up of this ticket, as it was a middleware problem, a Savanna bug has been opened. FQAN comparator does not work properly. This bug is now solved and is an integration candidate, so the process is followed and it will very soon will be included in a release and going to PPS. Can we close this action, Germany, Switzerland?
Yes, I think so, Maite.
Okay. Thank you, Sven. So next one, 101. What to do about SNAL and SAM timeouts. I put on the action list the long answer by Piotr explaining the details of the problem and a proposal. The proposal is on the SNAL system administrator to find the local workaround. And last thing was said was Joe was notified about this and we are waiting on his feedback. As the one following the action was John and he's not around this week, we don't have any more information. I don't know if we have anybody from FNAL that can give us an update on this.
From Fermi?
Yes.
Okay, can you repeat your question, please?
So it was related to action 101. Where the discussion has been discussed and proposed to the FNAL system administrator, to the site managers, and I wanted to know if we had somebody from FNAL that could give us an update on this action, if anything has happened.
I will ask and I will tell you next week.
Okay, thank you for checking.
Sure.
Next one is 102. This is how to handle VDIA and GovDB mismatches. This was going to be discussed at last week ROC managers meeting in Lyon.
It was, and we came to a conclusion. However, I haven't finished writing the minutes yet, and I want to give the minutes out with the correct conclusion. I don't want to try and guess what I'm going to say. I've got my notes, but I need to finish the minutes. When I finish the minutes, I'll post them also to this list so that everybody can see the outcome of this. Or at least this item I'll post.
Okay. So we leave it open and we comment on it next week. Okay, thank you, Nick. Next one, 103, ensure instruction for publishing a storage space reaches sites. So Antonio was dealing with this action and he had opened tickets to all the rocks, so this was followed. I checked and some rocks reacted and for some of them the action is still open.
Yeah, in fact, we have two major trends on this theme. Some sites are simply denying the access to Atlas to the DPN query because they say it is an administrative tool and they don't want to have access to that site word to it. But in fact, that was an extraordinary request from Atlas. They have provided that they are somehow saying that the data they publish are correct, and this is what they say. So now it depends on the BO whether they want to accept this kind of statement or they prefer. This is one of the cases. The other case is, in many cases it was simply allowed, I think. So I would propose...
Which rock is this case, do you know?
Well, a lot of controversial replies were from Rock France, in fact. So Rock France, in general, site administrator, because the things was moved down to site administrator in Rock France, and each one replied independently, saying that... But they converge on the theme that they don't want to give access to the
theme. May I... The same answer from Russian side.
Yeah.
May I add one point? Actually, at the end of this discussion is something like we, Atlas, were trying to cross-check the information that the sites were publishing on the information system. If the site administrator is sure that the information they are providing is correct, we are fine. Actually, we are saving our time. And it's just one thing that we were doing for cross-check. So to be sure that the information is providing the correct information. That's all. It was just a cross-check, since a lot of sites are not publishing correctly that kind of information.
Okay, maybe you should create a subtest in this case, because such checks must be run with regular checking options, something like subtests from OpsVO, but not from the VO users.
Actually,
because the users are not supposed to run system checks.
Actually, the information system is done just to provide this kind of information. So if you perform LCG infosites -SE, you will notice a lot of sites that are not published this information. We were just trying to help sites and check if the information were and are correct. If it's not the case and the site administrator are saying that the information are correct, as Rock France is saying, thank you a lot. I mean, we are satisfied also because we already know that we are moving to SRM2 where a lot of different things should be implemented. So it was a thing that actually took a lot of time to be discussed, and that we hope soon we will not have any more this kind of issue. However, thank you very much.
Okay. However, all the tickets are being followed up independently, so probably the action has to be closed.
Okay. So we'll do a last check after the meeting to see if there are any leftovers that didn't change it all. And if not, we'll close it.
It's fine, thank you.
Can we have a list of the sites which are not allowing this waterfall? I would like to have a list.
Okay.
Well, it is published. It is on the...
I mean, if the site claims they publish the correct numbers, fine, but
check it.
I would like to check it, right? And if they did not publish the correct numbers,
well,
they
will fail. It's suspect that the site is misconfigured and it is publishing. If many sites are publishing incorrect numbers, then you should create a SAM check to verify this.
Sure.
But not try to check this yourself and ask system administrators to give the access for you.
No,
but not for the testing.
No, actually,
wait a second.
The port is open.
Who is the testing person who should test?
OpsVO.
No, that's not true.
No. Actually, DPM is not working if you check this with OxyView. Actually, the port is 5015.
And the official testing procedure, but not that any grid user. Well, this is, he is the official testing person.
Actually, okay.
Okay.
This, this is actually my DN is mapped as some user, but actually we are really going deeply in this. I think not so constructive discussion.
I guess it was not clear to him.
It's a fact.
We can. Instructions. You are not
rock.
Can you go for a
rock France open at me and a pee table?
We can here and you will go for a beer after the meeting, for a coffee and clarify.
And I would actually
Simone still wants to.
Actually, one point that Simone just pointed out is that the information could also be true, but on the information system is not written the timestamp of that kind of information. So if we want really to be really. Then the information is not published, the timestamp of the information. That could be just a bit old. Would be useful for an experiment to know the real situation. But I don't want to go deeply in this kind of discussion.
Yes. No. This discussion stops here.
A change of information.
Okay. Thank you. Next action, last one, 104, request all LHCB sites to provide a detailed SRM version 2 status page. So this was also followed by Antonio, and I have no update on the action. You want to give us an update, Antonio?
Well, the last update I was aware on is that there was a discussion between LHCB and it was a long history. At the end, we realized before opening Tickets to the Rock that the information had to be structured a bit better in order to allow sites to provide this kind of information without too much effort in maintenance of the documentation. So Flavia is working together with Roberto to prepare a template or something easy for sites to with blanks to fill for the site. And this is what, and I don't know whether Flavia has an update on that.
Okay. So the thing is Flavia to describe what needs to be done by the sites and then request them to do it
Flavia and Roberto
following the instructions.
So they are working to Roberto Santinelli from Alex.
Okay.
I don't even know if
it's needed. Yeah, well.
So we keep the action open till this happens?
Yes, we check whether the action is still valid.
Okay. You check and let us know.
Yeah, if
you can, or are you okay? Okay, so this is all for the action list. AOB. Anybody have any AOB to raise?
Just one question. Maybe many of you know that there was a huge local root found in a bunch of Linux kernels starting from 2.6.17 till 2.6.24, I guess. Are there any sites affected by these local root bugs? Scientific Linux CERN and Scientific Linux seems to be using much older kernel, which still does not have the bugs. But maybe if any sites are running anything other than SLFLC, they can be affected too. I think all site administrators should check their kernel version because it is a local root bug.
Okay. So thank you for let everybody know. It will go into the minutes just in case any site who is running one of these versions doesn't know yet. So they have some work to do in the coming days. Any other AOB?
Yes, I have one. So the currently, my understanding is that there was a request from CMS at the GDB of September or October about moving a worker node to SLC4. This at that time was not a request from Atlas, so this has never been followed up closely by Atlas. Running on SLC3 or SLC4 was rather irrelevant for them. But now the new LCG utils, which came out, are certified only for SLC4, which means as soon as Atlas wants to start using SRM2 in production from the worker node,
they need to have this version of LCG utils, which means they need to have worker nodes on SLC4. Therefore, it is an Atlas request that every site which supports Atlas upgrade to Scientific Linux 4 in a timescale which has been discussed and set to March 15.
March 15.
Yes. So in March 15, production will start using those new clients, and whoever will not have the right setup will just not run production.
So we'll highlight it in a minute.
Yes,
so
please.
All the sites know about.
Yes, please.
Could you please remind the Atlas sites with a broadcast?
Yes, sure.
Because we are now
sure.
more or less 1 month
sure.
ahead, and they still have the time.
Sure, sure. Yes.
Okay.
We should also remind all the rocks and the sites that are listening that, in fact, the Glite 3 worker node is no longer supported. So if you are running it, you're running it at your own risk. Support for this was withdrawn 1 month after the Glite 3.1 worker node was put into production. So anyway, every site should really upgrade to Glite 3.1.
I have another AOB. So the dimension of the area for the Atlas software installation at the site, in the requirements, it's something I think like 10 gigabytes of shared area between all the worker nodes. And this has to be shared area between the worker nodes. Now, those requirements are something like 4 years old or 3 years old. So right now, there is more software, there are more versions, etc. So this requirement will have to change in an amount which Alessandro De Salvo, which is the Atlas software manager, calculated in 100 gigabytes. Well, shared, right? So it's 100 gigabytes of NFS space.
Well, but it's 100 of, gigabytes shared on a number of synchronized NFS servers, because it's hard to serve more than 20 worker nodes per one NFS server, because it just...
Yes.
Yes. For a big
yes.
Number of worker nodes, it
yes.
can be a trouble.
No, I understand. I understand. The idea... Well, this is the space which is needed anyway, and... Okay, they can try shrinking this a little bit, but this is the request Alessandro came up for, and the idea was that if somebody has a large number of worker nodes, should have also more resources to support a large number of worker nodes. So I would like this to be broadcasted, and if there is trouble for some site offering this, we should see this on a side-by-side basis, because maybe some sites are interested only in some particular kind of data processing and not others. So not all the software releases needed to be there. But this is not certainly the case for Tier 0 and the Tier 1s, and for large Tier 2s, while small Tier 2s might cope with a smaller number of releases. So this...
the requirements for the local Scratch space from
Atlas,
because I guess they require more than 100 gigabytes per job on Scratch space.
No. The Scratch space is much less than this. I think the requirement on Scratch space was something between 10 and 15 gigabytes per job. This is just the pre-installed software,
okay.
Atlas software, which should be at the site, which you source and you use for. So I don't know if I have to put this somewhere in some VO card, in some...
Yeah, that's what I was trying to check, if this information is contained in the ID card or not. I'm not able to see it right now.
If you could
update it as
fine.
You know, that would be fine. And then we send the broadcast on top of it.
Okay, should I update also the version of Scientific Linux?
Both, yeah.
Okay. I mean, this VO card is a free field anyway, right? So I can...
Yeah, I think so. There were some predefined fields, and then a free... I think for the software installation, it's a free field at the end.
Okay.
For the first part, I'm not sure. For the SP,
okay, I'll add both to the VO card then.
Yeah, check.
Okay,
and then we can check for the broadcast.
Sure, no problem.
If you send us the test, we can do it, especially for the timelines.
Yes.
For the software installation, what is the timeline by when you want it? Also, 15th of March?
It's a bit looser than this.
Okay.
There are some sites which are already extremely tight because they didn't offer the 10 gigabytes, but less than this. So what's talking
about. So it is more urgent.
But I would give it a couple of months time scale.
Okay.
It would be nice to have it for FDR too. Because there will be more software communities trying to analyze the data, and which will need multiple versions of.
Okay. Thank you, Simone. Any other AOB?
Yes, one from the CERN LFC team. They announced that they have unregistered replica entries from the servers in response to a broadcast earlier from Lev Shamardin, for a Russian SE that crashed. that's been done. They had one question, though. They responded to an Eggy broadcast, and they were wondering if that was procedurally correct.
I noticed. I think it works in general, but there is no procedure to reply.
The procedure should be to announce it to the operations meeting first. Now, if it is urgent, the opposite can happen. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it should have been announced here, so it should have gone into the site report and into the ROC report. So if any site missed the broadcast, or it is easier to follow it up to announce it here. That was the procedure, I remember.
But announcing
especially for LFC. So the broadcast in principle is the correct one because it's the fastest to the site. Now, it should have been discussed also here at the operations meeting.
The question they had is how is the follow-up track, particularly in the case of LFC, if there's many LFCs worldwide to be updated, how can...
Well,
last time we did it, there was a coordinator, so somebody, the site or the VO requesting it, appointed the coordinator of the operation, so they could be synchronized if needed, or this person could check when all of them were updated. So
in general, I think in this case, the GigaSticker could have worked perfectly, because it is something opened in a ROC, sent to another ROC, and for sure followed up, so the GigaSticker works as a coordinator.
You open one to each ROC.
I think once the ticket is in GIGAS, you can do a lot of things, and it's deterministic as tracking. So.
Yeah. And it's not lost
probably,
space.
For Russian ROC, the broadcast was good, but opening a GIGAS ticket to follow it up was a good idea.
No. What we'll do is to check where this is where this procedure is described, and because this can happen.
A very particular problem because Lev reported a problem happened that is into this rock. So here an intervention was needed, and CERN took the initiative of doing something. In reply to this broadcast, so it was not exactly a promoter reaction. It was just done with good sense, good common sense. So we don't have a track for that. That's true.
We'll check offline.
Okay.
Thank you, Jan. Any other final AOB?
Just a small question. About the slide from Jamie, is it possible to spread the link to these grid map monitoring graphics? Because I couldn't find them myself. Maybe it's my ignorance.
We cannot hear you very well. You cannot find the link for?
A link for the graphics, for the grid view graphics from Jamie's slide.
I think he attached one slide to the agenda.
Yes, and there are four graphics in it for the experiments. I don't find the link to these graphics.
Go to the LCG. Homepage, the CCRC link.
Okay, I'll look there for myself, thank you.
Yeah, it's the top left corner under the projects. And on the wiki, there's immediately the e-log books and the service maps.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Any other AOB? Last chance?
Is there any update on the 64-bit support in any kind of the services or the worker nodes?
Not that I know. We can put it for next week agenda.
Can
we do that? Yeah, so we'll change it up for next week agenda. Update on the 64-bit status.
Okay. status and what to expect.
What to expect and when, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Okay, I will not ask again. Thank you, everybody, for your and talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.